Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Career 360, hosted by Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim, sitting in for Bernard Lim. Now, the global spread of COVID-19 is changing the world into one that's even more reliant on technology. More people are staying indoors and working from home to help curb the pandemic, and this has accelerated the digital economy, especially in Southeast Asia. Now, according to a report by Google Bain & Company and Singapore's Temasek Holdings, the region's flourishing digital economy reached a gross merchandise value, or GMV, of $100 billion in 2019 and is projected to hit the $300 billion mark by 2025. The study also found that the biggest driver of this progress has been the e-commerce industry, which grew over seven times from a GMV value of $5.5 billion in 2015 to $38 billion. In 2019, the sector is on track to exceed $150 billion in GMV by 2025. Today, we chat with Andrew Sim, who is CEO of J&T Express, about e-commerce logistics in the time of COVID-19. Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, hi, Howie. How are you? Thank you for inviting me.
I'm fine. Thanks for asking. So let's first talk about the changes in the e-commerce logistics sector that you've witnessed over the past few years.
Well, definitely has changed a lot. Not forgetting that the logistics supply chain originally is actually designed for a B2B movement of products, right? So now with the e-commerce coming in, it has actually fundamentally changed the entire supply chain. The whole game, the whole playbook has changed the way whereby everything gets more granular, and the movement of products is no longer by in a common commodity. Everything become per piece and to the consumer, to the door. So it's no longer from a manufacturer to a DC, a distribution center, the retail shop, then consumer go to the shopping mall to buy their products. So everything has changed. And e-commerce coming in is that to, and I would say that technology plays a big part in doing well. Yeah, so that is some of the biggest change.
Sounds like it's really complicated things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing, it could be 1,000 pieces of the same thing going to somebody who needs 1,000 pieces of the same thing. But now,
yes.
Howie Lim only wants one piece, and one
yes.
piece of something else, and one
Correct.
Piece of something else.
Yes, that's right, that's right. So for example, it's like, you're a consumer, right? Let's say if you buy something, you can be choosing, you have now more easy access to similar products.
A variety of things.
You can
yes.
be checking for the pricing for same product across different channels.
Mm.
So from a sales perspective, how do you manage that?
So where are you in terms of e-logistics or e-commerce logistics in terms of organizing all of that prior to COVID-19?
Okay, so J&T Express has always been taking technology first as our one of key strategic pillar. So what we do here is that we provide an entire suite of solutions, because as a seller, our main focus for our customers is how do we help them to sell faster, sell more, and sell further. Hence, we have a suite of solutions for them, basically. One is the local delivery, followed by international shipping, followed by fulfillment services, and sales channel management for them. So these four combined together, which we can do it in the a la carte menu, or you can choose each one as you go, you know, it actually suit along the journey.
So without digital, it sounds like there's no way to do this, given how it's changed so much, in your opinion.
Yeah, I do agree with you, because because the word e-commerce is about digitizing of information right now. And how do you communicate this data real time? So for example, the moment you click an order and you check out and you enter a credit card and you pay it, within seconds we receive the order, right? Then we have to pick the order, fulfill it, and then pass it down to our transport team and deliver it within the agreed time.
Talk to us then about COVID-19's impact on e-commerce logistics then.
Wow, okay.
Busier times, I mean, yeah, at the risk of sounding opportunistic and insensitive, it sounds like busy times for you guys.
Oh, definitely, we are very busy.
Yeah.
And, you know, for us, through the years that we have actually gone through many sales campaigns, you know, the more popular ones would be the 9, 9, 10, 10, 11, 11, 12, 12, and Christmas. And we have never expected that this COVID-19 to be the mother of all campaigns.
Right, so it feels like this every day. It feels like 9, 9, 10, 10, 11,
Yeah, exactly. So I was joking with my team is, you know, Double 11 arrived early this time. But it's more than Double 11, I would say. And but what is more important is that as an essential service provider in Singapore, I think one of our key mission now is actually to keep the businesses moving and the supply chain flowing. And we have to do our best to deliver all these purchases to the consumers. Because only then, because everybody is staying at home, work from home, and everybody is buying more things, and especially not forgetting those old folks, perhaps they are living alone, their children might not be able to visit them, they might buy their household products, so we have a lot of such products. So we are doing our very best to keep pushing out all these products to them.
So, Andrew, for J&T Express, what does this mean for, say, job security of your workforce and hiring as well? You obviously maybe need more people.
Yes, we definitely need more people. People is one thing, but because the speed of these orders coming through, we are quite lucky that we have a automated sorting machine that helps us to process the order faster and more accurately than manual processing the parcels. So we are able to actually reassign our team members to do other job, like monitoring the machine, you know, and checking for data, and then pushing out all these parcels.
Reassign whom, though, Andrew?
Oh, reassign some of our teammates. For example, before that they were like manually sorting the parcel and things like that. So now they don't have to really do so much of those kind of work. So they can be monitoring the machine, okay, rather than physically doing those work.
And of course, they needed to be trained to be able to use the machines.
Oh yeah, definitely. So we were trained them. So we actually, some of them may not be very familiar with handling a software. So we teach them how do we do it, and we upskill them basically.
So despite automation, you still need staff on site and stuff, right? So how would you keep them safe while they're working?
A lot of work, Howie. So when this situation starts to deteriorate, or even before that, first thing first, we set up a contingency team, okay? We run tabletop scenario planning. We have actually purchased masks for all our team members, hand sanitizers, and we have temperature taking twice a day.
What were you preparing for? If you say you started all of this preparation before all of this went kaboom, what were you preparing for?
We're preparing for
just for backup, right?
A backup. So our business is that we can't afford, or rather we try to minimize any one of us getting infected. So we even run scenarios that one of us get infected, what should we do next? So we were, okay, so we have team A, team B. So team B is not supposed to be present at all in the warehouse.
Yeah.
So despite the fact that we are so busy right now, team B is keep calling us, hey, I want to come. I said, no, you're staying at home. You are saving all of us by not coming. You're our backup, actually.
You brought them through drills and everything so that they'd be better prepared when the situation arose.
Yes. So we even have prepared a second warehouse, and we sterile this place. So we have put in, we put items here, equipment, a set of equipment on standby, and team B will happen if we activated, and then they will come in, and there's another set of people that will look after to work with the government agencies to disinfect, contact tracing, and stuff like that.
Gosh, Andrew, it sounds like a J&T Express's BCP plans on steroids. But talk to us about J&T Express Singapore as a one-stop solutions provider, because you're also helping SMEs extend their global reach. How are you doing that?
Okay, so I mentioned earlier that we have four solutions, right? Mm. So we are very startup friendly, and so startup in a way whereby they can choose from, most of them will probably start from their living room. You know, they get a stock, and then at most they need is that to deliver their orders locally. So we have that for them. So as they grow further, they scale it up, then they may start to expand internationally. So we have a global network that where they can send to over 200 countries around the world. The whole world is the oyster. So e-commerce, there's no borders. We actually help to nurture and groom some of them. So on the other extreme, the very large MNCs, sometimes their business model is a little bit different, and they start to evolve. So, like for example, the government is actually pushing an agenda to digitize trading companies. We do have customers with us, very large ones, who are actually trying to transform their business model. So we onboard them and we show them, you know, we share our experience, how can technology and selling on platforms is going to speed up their direct-to-consumer model instead of doing a distribution model.
Andrew, have you had to sort of modify your solutions a wee bit so that it's more plug-and-play quickly for SMEs, for them to be able to adopt them in this crunch time?
Oh, well, before crunch time or now?
They already were plug-and-play.
Yes, so we develop our software in a way whereby everything is API. So when they don't need to buy any software or any equipment to kickstart their business. So all they need to do is sign up and we set an account for them. Our system is really plugged into the major marketplaces and other shopping carts, for example, like Shopify, Magento, WooCommerce, this type. So they can actually choose. And the API, we're all API ready. And we can actually help them to connect up, and they can just start doing their business, actually.
What do you think the upcoming trends and outlook for e-commerce logistics is then?
Oh, this is definitely very bright. People are changing their behavior, and people are more adapting to e-commerce.
And you don't think when all of this is over, it will be over at some point, maybe further down the road than we anticipate, but you don't think they'll go back to, you know, I want to go out and shop and not buy everything online. Bit difficult, you know, to pick the right mangoes, so to speak, online.
Interesting, because this morning, just chit-chatting with my colleagues, and we are talking about what's going to happen after this COVID is over. I said the volume will go back, but it will not go back to
It won't decrease.
It won't go back to the... It will be higher than usual because, first thing first, COVID has actually speed up some of the retailers' model. They start to see that, hey, yeah, what happened if this happened again? They can't afford to actually...
have this downtime, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And consumer on the other extreme, on the other hand, at home, they are getting used to buying things online, the convenience that they have.
But I've also heard some anecdotally, some experts say, people forget, the memory quite short.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a possibility.
Well, over the past few years, we are enjoying very good growth. So that is one evidence that people are getting used to it. And with this, I would say that it will speed up this adoption.
All right. Andrew Sim, CEO of J&T Express. Thanks so much for talking to us today. And stay safe, sir.
Yeah, you too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.